This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to... keep hoping. If you wrote it in Phoenix, I would say Phoenix. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 29th, episode 2046, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so...
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
And wings from barrier number six began beautifully. D'Argento towards the inside began well. Kingsville Dreams out the back after a few strides. So they complete 100 metres. D'Argento on the inside of Ben Battle. They're not going fast. Rostropovich out three deep. Winx is settling a bit closer. Savvy Cope behind those horses. Further back, Avilius, the inside, a gap to Humidor. And Kingsville Dream is last of all. Out of the straight, 1,600 metres to run. D'Argento in front by three quarters of a length. Ben Battle. Rostropovich is three wide early. Savvy Cope behind those horses, fourth. And they were followed by Winx, who's got a lovely position at the moment. Fifth one off the fence. Two lengths of Avilius. Humidor. Kingsville Dream's going to be pulled up. Kingsville Dream is out of the race as they head to the back section now. 1,250 metres to go, so already some early drama. D'Argento joined by the international raider Rostropovich. A length and a half to Ben Battle, third as they reach the 1,000 metres, and the speed's got a lot better. Savvy Cope is fourth on the inside, two further back as Winx. They were followed by Avilius, and Humidor is last of all. Heading towards the top corner at the 850. It's D'Argento and Rostropovich together. A length and a quarter, Ben Battle. Savvy Cope the inside as they reach the 750. Further back is Winx in plenty of air. A length and a half to Humidor, and Avilius the inside is last of all. 600 metres to go in the Cox Plate. Rostropovich just in front of D'Argento. Ben Battle. Now Bowman gets moving on Winx. She's only a length and a half to two lengths off the lead, followed by Savvy Cope. Rostropovich just in front of D'Argento, but here she comes, and the valley roars. Winx on the outside moves up, takes the lead from Ben Battle, then Rostropovich and D'Argento into the straight at the 200 metres. It's Winx in front by a length. Ben Battle's going with her. Winx three quarters, Ben Battle. Winx is staving off Ben Battle. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Winx has done it. It's Equo Utopia. Two legs to Ben.
Okay, sorry. It's really dusty in here. I can't see right now. Okay. Yeah. That was Winx winning the fourth consecutive Cox Plate and the 29th straight win overall. Oh my God.
It's crazy.
That is just too much.
And the other thing that video showed is that Australian women can scream as loud as American women. Holy smokes.
Man, I mean, he's in a separate booth. You know, he's in a whole separate booth, usually. The announcer is. That traveled. Maybe there was some chicks in the booth with him.
I don't know. That's loud. That lady, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. But 29th consecutive victory. That is just crazy. That's
crazy. Do you know where Winx was Sunday morning?
No.
Because the Cox Plate was on Saturday. Winx goes to the ocean and it gets hacked in the ocean. If you go to her Facebook page, Winx-Official, there's video of her playing in the ocean. This is what they do after all of her races, is they take her out to the ocean and let her swim around and play.
Can you
stuff.
Imagine that, Harry, cool? Happening in America? Never. No. In a thousand years.
Never. But you know what? My God. That's 29 in a row. Something's working. I mean, Barlap won too, and he's like the legendary Australian racehorse.
This puts her prize money earnings, and this has to be near a record, doesn't it, for all racehorses? $22.9 million prize money.
It's insane.
That's got to be close to the record, because horses don't race that long to win that much in prize money anymore.
Like, so what do they do? I mean, you've got this mare that clearly is still loving life. She knows, that mare knows where the dang finish line is. At what point are you like, man, we got to breed her?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're taking a risk every time you run her, right? Every time you work her, for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just love to pick the brain of the owner and trainer and just be like, hey, what are you guys thinking? Are you just going to, like, keep going? I mean, I'd hate for her to go out with a broken heart like her half-sister did. So, I think, I mean, how long do you go? I mean, I'm not a proponent either way, but like, because I enjoy watching her run. So like, keep her going.
I mean, it's That's good for the sport that she keeps running, right? I mean, it's good for the sport overall. And do you think owners actually look at that, or do you think they're too selfish to look at that? I don't mean that in a negative way, you know?
I mean, she's run 29 times, won 29 straight. And there's
still running,
not like
her.
They're like, hey, by the way, this is her last race. Yeah. No, they haven't said that at all. So, man, I love it. I love it. Go Winx.
Well, because each time she goes out, she wins more millions.
millions.
Like millions. 22.9 million. And do you think in the back of your mind, you go, damn, if only she was a stallion.
No. No way. No, that's that's like part of the excitement with her and with Zenyatta and with Rachel Alexander. These are the chicks that are beating the hell out of the boys, which is awesome.
No, I meant from a financial standpoint and the hundreds of millions you get in stud fees later.
I am just thinking emotionally.
Yeah, I was thinking business-wise.
That's why you're the owner of this company and not the employee.
I'm thinking I got 6 or 7 babies as opposed to 2,000. So that's what... Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? And by the way, congratulations to Winx. And boy, all of our Australian auditors and listeners have been reminding us that there's this horse down there, and we appreciate that, and you guys should be very proud. Jennifer, what's coming up?
There we go. I wanted to make sure you were done.
I'm done.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Radiothon. Woohoo! It's only 4 weeks away. And once again, WeatherBeta is headlining as the title sponsor today. So they are coming on to tell us all about the Hello Grand in all capital letters prize. And then mid-show, Cynthia Urkel is here, and she's going to tell us about C.W. Anderson's classics children's books being made into movies. Yay, team. Billy and Blaze, they're coming to the big screen. And because we just spent the morning sharing some of the many, many joys of being a horse crazy person, we will drizzle a little sarcasm on the show with some first world equestrian problems. And then wrapping things up, Jamie is going to provide the educational ingredients for today's show with some OTTB reschooling recaps. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to my wife, Jennifer. I want to give her my daily Winnie because over the weekend, she went to an endurance clinic with Nigel, who... Was he like the biggest horse there by about 2 hands, Jennifer?
2 hands and 500 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, I figured. So she went to an endurance clinic and then got to ride in an introductory endurance ride yesterday of 10 miles, and he did pretty well, didn't he?
He was a rock star. He got all A's on his score sheet. Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. I was not the person who fell off, and mine was not the horse that got loose. Okay, you did 10 miles this weekend? Wow, you beat Thor. Thor only made it 8, and that's because 3 were trying to get back to the dang trailer. Congratulations.
Well, if you remember right, everybody, the last time, last year, when she took him out for his first endurance ride, he jigged for 10 miles. Did he jig this time for 10 miles?
No, he was much better. He was definitely on the muscle. I was the only person there who had to keep their horse from galloping off into the distance because he thinks it's a sprint. He hasn't quite figured that out yet.
Endurance.
By the time we got to mile 8.5 this time instead of 10, he had gotten to the point where I didn't have to tell him, no, we trot, not gallop.
Yay.
So we're making improvements, small but steady.
Here's what you have to do
which is what these crazy, like Andrea, the chick I rode endurance with, these crazy women, they go do the same thing next weekend. I mean, there's no downtime. Like, you go back out there and you do it again. You will get back out there and you will get back on your horse and you will ride another.
You know who I think was suffering? I heard a lot of complaining about sore muscles, and she bent over to pick something up and I heard a groan yesterday. So I think
the human was suffering
more than the horse.
I'm telling you, it's true. Wait. Do you have one of those big comfy endurance saddles, or are you like doing it in a dressage saddle?
No, I'm using my Wintec Ultralight, which is it's basically a forward seat saddle, like you would fox hunt in, and it's perfectly comfortable. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, good job. And she camped out and set up her little corral, and everybody survived. So there we go.
Yay. Yeah, I talked to lots of listeners. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah. She said she saw lots of listeners there, Jamie.
Well, isn't that they probably listened to the endurance show?
No, they listened to us. I know. It's hard to believe.
What?
So,
why?
So hello to all the listeners out there. And speaking of listeners, auditors Brenna Starch and Alicia Hartley, happy birthday to you guys. It's their birthday.
Ooh, it's giving them chili. Can't shortchange their chili, Winnie.
Yeah, we kind of we talked too long.
Okay. My daily Winnie goes out to, oh my gosh, there was such a beautiful wedding. Debbie Laux's son and new daughter got married. And I don't know if you know this, but they have all sorts of businesses out at Flag Is Up Farms. And one is that they do weddings. And so Matt and Brittany got married this weekend at the farm. And it's just, I mean, the most beautiful.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. It's like a nice wedding.
Yes, it's super fancy, super nice. So if any of our auditors are listening, they do offer those services there. And I've seen weddings now. Okay, I think it's time enough has passed, and I can let you guys know. I might have told you this already. Katy Perry's brother got married there last year.
Did you see Katy Perry?
I did.
You did?
All of us were like stalking them in the bushes. We were standing in the bushes trying to see Katy Perry because apparently she was going to sing in the reception, but it got too cold that night for her voice. So all of us were standing in the pasture, like waiting for Katy, like get up on stage and sing. And it never happened. We froze to death for no reason whatsoever.
Did the DJ play a Katy Perry song just in place of her?
Oh, how terrible would that be?
And how bad is it that could you listen to your own song being played at your, I don't know. That'd be weird.
I mean, but like as a brother, aren't you like over Katy Perry?
Yes. Yes. You're sick of her fame. She was there, I assume, hanging out.
She was there. Yeah. Yeah, she was there. So it was just funny. Anyway, so celebrities and non-celebrities and family and anybody can get married at Flag Is Up Farm. And it was just
beautiful bride too.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. And then did you look at the wedding party?
Yeah.
The women,
yeah.
The girls?
Yeah. They all look like supermodels. You mean?
Why are all these girls total tens? Yeah. Every one of them. I was like,
apparently all her friends are tens.
All her friends are so pretty.
You have to be a 10 to be her friend or you're out. Yeah. Of the club.
That's why I didn't get an invite. I wasn't pretty enough.
Well, while Jennifer's getting our first guest on, I wanted to do a programming note. Tomorrow is the fifth Tuesday of the month, which means we have no show. There's no show on the fifth Tuesday of a month. So we will be dark tomorrow, coming back on Wednesday for Halloween. And we have Kristen coming back with Horse Nation. If you remember last year, we did our first Halloween episode. And we're going to do that again this year. Listeners submitted Halloween stories. So on Wednesday,
I'm gonna read the best three.
Yes.
Now you're going to read one. Kristen's going to read one. And I'm going to read one.
I guess we'll do it that way. Yeah.
Okay. And then let's have a voting to see whose is the best
reading or story.
Ooh, both. I was thinking story, but now you got me interested with the whole competition of reading.
Now, the disadvantage you have is I can actually put background music on mine.
Oh, you cheater, pumpkin.
Hey, look, I'm a terrible reader. You know that. I need all the help I can get here. So that'll be happening.
You should be better. We've been doing this for like 8 years. You've been reading on the show all the time.
I know. You'd think I'd get better, but I really haven't, have I? You're a good reader, though. That's why we let you read all the old crappy books.
And we have some fun equestrian first world problems going on, by the way. Ignoring your old crappy books reference, considering Black Beauty is the greatest story of all time.
Hey, we're going to be talking about an old, really good book today, though. Billy and Blaze is being made into a movie, and the director of the movie is coming up. You know, it seems like there's been a revival of old old equestrian stuff being made into movies.
Cool. That's a good trend.
I know. It seems like we've had a lot more of that lately than we ever had before. But first, we have to talk about something that's coming up and is literally like 30 days away, which, by the way, just made my stomach go blah. Because there's so much work to do. And that is our fourth annual holiday radiothon. And for the fourth year in a row, the terrific people at WeatherBeta have become our title sponsor for a radiothon. And we're so excited to have them back again. They must like it. I hear they all listen to it in the office that day when it's on. And we have Jess Manson, speaking of reading and talking today, we have Jess Manson on, sales director from WeatherBeta. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. We're so excited that you guys are back again this year.
We are very excited to be involved in this as well. Thank you so much for having us.
You know, when we started this 4 years ago, I went to my friends at WeatherBeta because I'd known them for years since we sold their products back in the 90s. And I said, look, I have this crazy idea. It's 12 hours live. I'm not even sure we can do it. It's probably going to crash in the middle. We're going to get like 30 guests and 20 hosts, and there's going to be hundreds of callers. And they all looked at me like I was crazy, just like Jamie and everybody else here did, and especially my wife.
True.
And we pulled it off, and now it's become really the holiday media event of the year every year. We have the biggest holiday media event of the year. So thank you for believing in us when it was really just a really dumb idea.
Not a dumb idea, obviously. So congratulations on the success of this.
Actually, with all the work involved, it feels like a dumb idea still sometimes. When we're 2 days ahead trying to edit 100 voicemails, it feels like a dumb idea. And then we get to Radiothon Day and we have so much fun. And it's just, it all comes together in the end and it happens. And you guys really have been part of it.
Absolutely.
And this year you're offering another of the grand prize packages as well.
We are. So I don't know if you'd like to go through it or if you'd like me to.
Oh, I'd love for you to
away,
do it.
But it's,
yeah,
it's
go ahead.
Very exciting.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have it there?
Yeah, I do. So what we're going to be giving away is the Ultra Cozy. So we do have four different lines in the Comfy Tech line. And Ultra is the best of the best. It has all of the bells and whistles. So the blanket that we're actually giving away is the WeatherBeta Comfy Tech Ultra Cozy. And that's a 1680D ballistic nylon Teflon coated blanket. So your horse literally has to really be out to destroy this thing.
Probably Zeus could even survive. She has a Mustang that might be able to survive in that blanket.
Exactly. So it's very, very tough and has a lot of premium features that are going to make your horse super comfortable so he won't want to destroy it. So we're giving that away along with quite a few pieces of the WeatherBeta Prime range, which is a beautiful coordinating range of saddle pads, bandages, fly bonnets, all of that.
Oh my God,
that's all going to
so
go along
matchy.
With it.
Matchy, matchy. Matchy, yep, matchy, that's
exactly.
Right.
We're doing a maroon color for that too, so it's very festive for the holidays.
Nice.
And then we're also giving away an additional fleece in a hedgehog print. So we have fun prints every year, and the hedgehog is the fun print for this year. So really fabulous package. Definitely cover your horse for when you're riding, to when you're turning out, to when he's nestled in his stall, or she is nestled in her stall. So,
well,
we're
very excited to have you guys doing that again, and thank you for that. It's like a $500 package. It's nothing to sneeze at, and we give away more prizes that day than is given away anywhere in the horse world. So, if you want to actually participate in that and be eligible for the prizes, you have to go to holidayradiothon.com and click how to win, and you have to enter to win. And the way you enter is you have to submit a voicemail to us that we can play that day, or you can call us that day. So either way, you get entered to win, and we put all the names in the hat. We do drawings all day long. Every hour we do drawings, and at the end of the day, we do the grand prize drawings for the WeatherBeta big package. So definitely keep that in mind and go over right now. The entries are due by the 19th, so go to holidayradiothon.com for that. So what's new this year with you guys and your line? We're coming up in winter. It's getting cold places. Even in Florida, we went below 90. So it's getting cold here.
Yeah. Amazing. So we have been blessed with some cold weather. I'm not going to lie. That is very exciting to us here at WeatherBeta because it means that people are using blankets. So like I said before, we do have, four iterations of the line. So it's going to go ultra, which is going to be our most premium line, and it's all going to be, 1680 blankets. So we do have, two styles under that line, which would be the ultra cozy top of the line, all of the fabulous features that you want, memory foam with a relief pads, the freedom system, which is the forward facing gusset that allows your horse, a lot of freedom of movement. Full rep, tail flap, and what that's going to do for your horses. Horses have a tendency to turn their backs to the weather. They're smart animals. So what this flap is going to do is it's going to give a full wrap. When the wind hits it, it's going to make sure that your horse's butt stays dry and no water actually gets underneath the blanket. And then when we're still looking in the ultra line, we've got the ultra tough available as well. So it's going to be a little less expensive, but it is going to have slightly less bells and whistles. It still has the wonderful with a relief pad, which is going to add additional comfort and reduce any rubbing on your horse's withers. So making sure that they stay comfortable in their blanket. This one is going to have a slightly different fit, though. So if you prefer a more traditional gusset, this would be the choice for a horse that's tough on blankets. So with that 1680D ballistic nylon, you'd prefer that fit, that traditional gusset fit, which is going to be a traditional side gusset. Then we move to the ComfyTech Premier line. And when we move down into this, we're going to have a 1200 denier triple weave rappel shell. So all going to be waterproof and breathable for you. And what that triple weave is in a 1200D is basically the way that the fabric is woven. It's ripstop, which is fantastic, but this is going to be even stronger than just a regular box weave ripstop. So still a really good option for those horses that are tough on blankets for sure. It's also going to have several different types of blankets within the line. So we have a WeatherBeta ComfyTech Premier Trio. And what that means is that it's kind of an all-in-one system. So it's going to have a 100-gram outer shell. So you can utilize it for milder weather if your horse still needs some coverage. And it's also going to come with a 200-gram polyfill liner that's removable. So you can layer it. So it's a fabulous little layering system for your horse if you're in a region that has very varying weather.
So I have a question for you.
Let me jump in here.
I just got a horse off the track, and he is a skinny chestnut thoroughbred, and he is the biggest wuss ever. Like, he needs a blanket that would cover from hoof, like just like a walking barn over him, like something like that. So I mean he needs like pole to tail coverage. What would you recommend for a horse like that, that if it just gets, I mean, it was 58 degrees and drizzling and he was shivering. So what would you recommend for a horse like that? And he's not super destructive or anything like that. So he doesn't probably, by the way, ballistic is like the coolest word. That sounds really, really tough.
It's super fancy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a horse that was similar to that. Like literally, if he smelled rain in the air, he would come screaming from the bottom of the field.
Yeah.
Like I, honestly, when I had first got him, I didn't realize that that was what was happening. So as soon as the first drop hit and he looked like he was panicking at the gate, I realized that, like your horse, he was a wuss.
Total.
So there's plenty of different options. Actually, the detached neck options are most popular selling. So the most popular among consumers for a myriad of reasons. So the one that I was talking about previously was that Ultra Cozy. So that comes with a hood. So what's really neat about that hood, and I haven't seen this in any other blankets, is that it has a cozy guard, it's called. So there's no gaping in that chest area. I don't know if you've ever experienced blankets that they have a hood, but there's a gap between where the hood attaches and where
and
the
so
blanket
it all
actually starts.
The water literally just runs down their chest and just gets in their, like, you know, in their cleavage.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what this feature is going to prevent, that cozy guard feature.
Okay.
So I would recommend either the Ultra Cozy for your wuss or the Ultra.
Ultra, I'm writing this down.
That's how we categorize our horses. It's by escape artist.
Like, to keep his cleavage dry, he needs the ballistic. I could rewrite your website just for people like me that go, what? Huh? Okay, this is my horse.
I love
this. This is what he does.
I love that idea.
Jess, this is awesome. People can go, what is the website to check out all the products from WeatherBeta?
So it's www.weatherbeta.com.
Weatherbeta.com.
Perfect.
I'm so excited. And we'll probably be talking to you again. I think we're going to be talking to somebody from WeatherBeta at the very start. We always begin. You guys kind of crack the champagne bottle over the bow of the boat. And then we go sailing off on our 12 hours. So we'll talk to you.
Then they hang up.
That's right. Then they hang up and go, it's all yours. All right.
That was fun. And then you're on for another 12 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good time.
I did my 5 minutes and now I'm out.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jess.
Oh, thanks, Jess. Yeah, seriously.
Bye-bye.
They talk and then they're like, okay, bye-bye now.
Yes.
See you later. Have fun in the next 12 hours.
I am looking forward to it this year. You know, I always look forward to when we actually start the show. When it actually gets started, then it's kind of in your rhythm. It's all the preparation ahead of time. What we are going to start doing today at the end of each show, till we get enough entries, is we're going to harass you people with the sound packages we put together from last year. So we have 12 of those, and we're going to play the show out every day with last year's entries. And that's to kind of get you in the mood, because we learned we have to get you in the mood for Christmas so that you start submitting the entries. I know they have to be in pretty early before everybody's really in the Christmas mood, but...
When do they have to be in by?
The 19th of November. So we have a couple of weeks, and we need to get them in.
So you can get past Halloween, because I would have to get past Halloween to submit an entry. Just like, let me cleanse myself of Halloween.
And you know, if we did this on December the 15th, it would be easier, but we kind of always decided to do it on Cyber Monday, and that was partly because the sponsors wanted it on Cyber Monday. So, for obvious reasons. So that's why we
ended up doing it. Because I'm going to buy Rocket a Ultra Cozy.
That's right. That's correct.
Hey, by the way, what's really funny, and I'll tell you this now, is his racehorse name is terrible, so we decided to give him another name. So we call him Rocket. And I was like, Chad, what's some like cool like military technique, like something really awesome that you guys use Rocket? And do you know what he said?
What?
Ballistic Rocket is his show name now. That's going to be his show name.
Well, then ballistic he needs a ballistic blanket.
I know, right? I mean, how funny is that? That she said that. I was like, oh my God, it's like a sign.
All right, let's hear about Omega Alpha. And then we're going to talk to the director of a new movie that's being made about the children's books that were done in the 1930s called Billy and Blaze. And I'm sure a lot of you have read them.
I'm bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, and of course, I got an email that said, how do I find one of Dr. Chang's old segments that he'd done? Because Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine's been coming on for like 5 years. And you just go to horsesinthemorning.com and search in the search bar for Dr. Chang, and it'll bring up all his past episodes, and we usually put in there what he's talking about. So if you're looking for a specific one, or if you're looking for a specific condition, we've been doing horse health segments for since we started the show 8.5 years ago. So if you just put in laminitis, it'll bring up every episode we've ever talked about laminitis. So use the search feature on the website. People forget we even have one because they listen on their phones on a podcast app. But the website is a good resource, horsesinthemorning.com. Let's hear a little bit about the new movie that's being made. I'm so excited so many horse movies are being made off of old books and different things. And this one is called Billy and Blaze.
In the grand tradition of such cherished films as National Velvet and The Black Stallion, Billy and Blaze, a classic series of horse stories never before produced, is now available to create an unusually robust film for the whole family.
C.W. Anderson was a renowned painter of racehorses during the golden years of Man-O-War. These are some of the many photographs Mr. Anderson took as studies for the paintings he produced to honor Man-O-War. Author of 40-some books, Mr. Anderson described the famous giant in marvelous detail. Whereas most of these were accomplished at the height of his career, this simple picture book was done much earlier and lacked the skill that was to come. Billy and Blaze was so popular, though, all his commissions, publications, and triumphs may in some way be owed to the special feel of this simple children's story. Now the feelings for the story have aged and deepened, and its admirers are many. For this reason, the screenwriter has chosen to honor the story in detail, so that the script follows the illustrations, and every paragraph C.W. Anderson wrote guides the plot of a film children will love and the most experienced equestrian can appreciate.
Well, that's right. We have Cynthia Urkel on here. She's director of the Billy and Blaze movie that's filming now. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So how did this come about? These books have been around, obviously, forever. Is this the first time they're being put on film?
This is. This classic series has been protected. It's such a lovely feel to the books. They're very simple. C.W. Anderson did a lot of more sophisticated books, but these stayed in print, and they the C.W. Anderson estate had offers to make them into film at other times, but they just really wanted to have the feeling of the stories come across, and we were able to show them our script, and they were advocating that we could make it happen the way that who they call Herc, Uncle Herc, would have appreciated. So, and they are very happy with what's happening now. So we're in post-production. Everything has been filmed, and 2019 we will have a movie.
Wow, that's exciting. It's not just one, right? Are you planning on doing a series if it goes well?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. There's in the first book, which is the one that we have showcased, and this is the subject matter, is the first Billy and Blaze book. That time period is the 1930s. It was well over a decade before C.W. Anderson decided that the public was not letting go of the children's stories. He had gone on to be a serious equine artist. And he began again with a series that about eight more books that are 1950s look, and we are going to do a treatment of both the 30s era and the 50s era. And there's a fine boned pony in the 30s era, and in the 50s it's more of a medium pony with an older boy.
So this is interesting because these books, as you said, are pretty simple. You, if you're a scriptwriter for this, you basically have a very basic outline, and to make a movie, you got to add a whole lot to it.
Yes, we've embellished the story with what we feel is just like the simple storyline. So we've been able to capture the quiet independence of that brave little horseman and add to it the other people that were in between the lines, and we found them.
Well, that's okay. I'm getting a bunch of questions from listeners now on my Facebook. So apparently there's some Billy and Blaze fans out there. And one of the questions is, how did you audition for Billy? And how did you audition for Blaze? The other question is, was Billy a rider, and how old is Billy?
This search was very difficult because at first when we were looking, we didn't seem to find enough accomplished riders that were young boys, and we had lots and lots of girls. That changed. It just seemed like we were finding more and more riders, but for the first Billy and Blaze book, the pony was a very upright pony with a lot of charisma. It was not a calm pony. It took a while to find the boy at the same time that we found the pony. Mm. After a while, we became enamored with a number of boys. They were just amazing, but there was a Connemara named Irish Envoy that I couldn't have because it was a stallion. And finally, but that was my placeholder. And then finally, we found Abu Bright that has been wonderful in this role. It just looks like the same exact silhouette, and that's Banbury Cross is his stable name, and he's just perfect with Henry Lesko, who I had no idea we would find a boy so young. We just thought we'd have to compromise on one, either get a calmer pony or an older boy. But we actually have a little boy the same age that Billy would have been, and a pony just as upright and spirited as Blaze holds himself, and they look like Billy and Blaze.
They do. I went to the website and I looked at the kid, and it was exactly what I pictured. His hair, you know, yeah. If he had a few more freckles, it would have been perfect. But it was.
does Blaze have an actual Blaze or a painted on Blaze?
It is actual. Nothing. There was not one bit of makeup on Blaze. Nothing.
Wow. Well, now the question that I know a lot of people are asking is in the movie, because as a horse person, when you gallop up and you stop your horse and you slam on the brakes, they don't whinny typically. And when a horse is trotting around with a rider on or jumping a fence, they don't whinny. But movies tend to throw random whinnies in where a horse would be like out of breath, you know, in an actual time. They would throw a whinny in there. So yeah. are you conscientious about your
It drives all of us
placement?
Crazy, to be honest.
Yeah. I want you to know that I was so nervous when we started because I promised the CW Anderson Estate we would have real horsemanship. Now, I'm a backyard pony girl. So I do not at all have, I have the feel. You can tell by the way that my treatment of the script that I have the feel, but I have no problem at all in telling you that we have depicted this in reality because the grandfather is played by an Olympic champion, Tad Coffin, all
oh my
of
gosh.
The children are real
wait,
riders.
Wait. Tad Coffin's in the
Tad
movie?
Tad Coffin is Tad the Coffin granddad?
Is... Yes, he's the granddad.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think she liked that.
I was able to just enjoy. I no longer, all of my fears over the years melted away. It all came together towards the end, and just we were infiltrated with equestrians that this story is populated by the real riders.
So basically you had a whole lot of know-it-all equestrians who probably wouldn't leave you alone. They were like, hey, you should do this.
That's what I feared. Honestly, I was prepared for that and had nothing but support over the years. A few people being very kind. I have to say, we have just enjoyed even watching them. I thought, okay, now my next fear is there's so many of them. They all know their stuff. And what's this going to be like? But yeah. No, they enjoyed it together. It was an amazing process.
I think part of that, isn't it, Cynthia, that we just don't want to see a horse film screwed up like so many are. So,
yes. And the subject matter, you look at the books and it just kind of suits you. It's really, I think that the subject matter, people wanted to be true to that feel.
So is this going to be released in mainstream theaters or, you know, do you have any idea yet what you're going to do as far as release is concerned?
The buzz that we're getting makes us very hopeful, but this is a small production studio and this movie has to be seen. We have to prove ourselves. So we've had a lot of offers, and because we are so optimistic, we're holding off until the proof is in the pudding.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm just so excited to see this. It sounds like just such a great family event on set and on the screen. It's going to be great for families. So it's really, really great that you are working. What else have you directed? What's your background?
We did a Christmas movie that is still in post called Hurry Scurry. And it really was put together to show what we could do. Our previous experience is in children's books, or, you know, published children's books author and illustrator, and also a lot with print media and some national advertisements for luxury. There's a background that is in beauty and not enough to show for an actual film release. So, so here we are, and we have not held back any. Everything we did was very difficult, and it's going to be evident. I think it's going to be unique.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing it. That's terrific. And by the way, you can go to the website, billyandblazemovie.com. It has all the background, how they found the horse, how they found the kid. They have Tad in there also. It's so funny you said his name, because I just came across him last week. I didn't know he had his own line of saddles. And I don't know where I came across that, but I saw it last week. So definitely go take a look at billyandblazemovie.com. Please keep us informed when it comes out and when people can start to see it, and we'll have you back on to talk about it. Maybe we'll get Billy on. We'll get him on also.
Yes. But I would like to say that the thing that is wonderful about the children riders is that the audience is going to be able to follow them. Kat Fouque is an amazing rider that she's at the Washington International Horse Show, for the children to be able to follow that little personality and her horses, she's extremely successful. the other writers, Wyatt Morris, each of these actors, if they could look them up, they'll literally, the children will be able to follow real, instead of looking at actors that are pretending, these are writers, and they are very, very interesting little personalities that the children can really get to know, and their interests in horses can be just start off.
I love that idea. I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Billy and Blaze Movie.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to hearing more about it as it comes out.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Cynthia.
You so much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
That was Cynthia Urkel, director of the movie. So, well, that's cool. You know, we have seen a lot more movies and films. I like that they're doing this one right. I like that Tad was involved, because you know it's probably going to be done right, horsemanship-wise. And they found a little rider, too. And he's cute as a dickens.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. It just sounds like it's just very true to life. And knowing that Tad's involved, you know, he just was at Flag Is Up Farms. He was in the course with Monty's special training. He is a huge advocate of Monty. Yeah. And the dually halter.
Put him on our short list, Jennifer, for getting him on our hour for Radiothon if Debbie hasn't already stolen him. Don't you think?
She probably has. Yeah, we definitely should.
Yeah, that's so. Jennifer.
She had him on not too long ago, so.
Yeah, let's get him on our hour. I think it'd be fun to have him on talking about the holidays.
And the movie.
That's correct. All right, let's, do you want to go right into First World Problems?
No, I need a song.
You need a song?
Let's play a song.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we actually play the voicemail package that I promised that I was going to put at the end of the show, because to be honest, I don't have a song ready. So we'll play the voicemail package from the end of the show right now, and then we're going to come back, and we have First World Problems, and Jamie is going to kind of guide us through, she's had so many requests for this, is going to kind of guide us through what she is doing kind of step by step in the training of these new horses that she got. So you got your lecture series prepared? You have your slides, your PowerPoint.
Ready.
Yep, you're ready? Okay, good. We'll be right back.
You have reached the Horse Radio Network voicemail line. Please leave your voicemail after the tone.
Happy holidays from horselovers.com. Here's a song to spread a little Yuletide cheer.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my barnmate showed to me 12 ropers roping,
11 trainers training,
10 hunters jumping,
9 mares be offing,
8 kids a grooming,
7 stalls need cleaning,
6 foals a sleeping,
5 snaffle bits, 4 neighing colts,
3 French mares,
2 Cleveland bays,
and a saddle from horselovers.com.
Happy holidays.
Precious Magic Gallop Jennings, the Wild Mustang, had a very bouncy lope, and whenever Jamie asked her, she would buck and say, yeah, nope. All of the other horses listen well to Jamie's ways. Luckily, Mrs. Jennings has leg muscles for days. Then one year round Christmas Eve, Coach Jen came to say, Jamie, please hold on so tight. Don't fall off and eat dirt tonight. Then Precious Magic Gallop Jennings, the Wild Mustang, learned to canter gracefully. Soon she'll be driving carriage and maybe jumping at Grand Prix.
Or not.
Happy Radiothon, everybody.
Hi, Glenn, Jamie, and Jen, and the rest of Horse Radio Network. This is Jacqueline Burke from Maryland. I just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas and wish everybody a happy holidays. You guys have been just a huge rock in my riding life. And since I have my own place now, provide me the barn family that I don't always get anymore. So I just wanted to say thank you.
It's Christmas time and I have found a package on my porch. What could it be? Why, it's a present for my horse. It's a weather beater blanket, just the perfect size, with matching neck and boots. It's a fabulous surprise. It's a weather beater blanket to keep my baby warm and looking really pretty on the farm. It's a weather beater blanket to keep my baby warm and looking really pretty on the farm. Merry Christmas.
This is Auditor Matt from Maryland, and my ultimate horsey Christmas gift would have been last year when my parents got me a 20 by 20 run-in shed for my new farm.
Hey guys, it's your newest recruit, Jemmy, and I just have to give a big love shout out to my boyfriend, Scooter, for this year's Radiothon. Here we go. Scooter the carriage pony with his big wiggly nose. He was so quick to show me the horsey love I'd never known. I drove all the way to Ocala, looking forward to nothing else. Certainly not Glenn's chili, tasted as bad as it smelled. Then one stormy Friday eve, Irma the hurricane made me hurry along back down south, 'cause she was coming my way, no doubt. So I had to leave my Scooter with carrots and a smiley face and a promise to see him for the holidays back at that HRN place. Back at that HRN place. Happy Radiothon, everybody. I love you, Scooter.
Horse lovers. Well, there you go. There was the first package that we played last year. And boy, we have some. It reminds me every year what talented listeners we have.
It reminds me how many years I've had different horses.
Every year it changes. When I heard that Precious Gal, I went, wow, things have changed in a year.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I still keep in touch with the people that bought her. And I guess she cantered for the first time with the little girl. And I'll have to find you the video and send it to you so they can play it on the air so they can believe me. She's like, oh my gosh, what did that canter feel like? The mom's videoing. And the little girl turns around. She goes, it felt like I was riding a cheetah. Oh gosh, I was like, that is awesome. Awesome.
And your driving career, apparently that didn't go anywhere either. So,
nah, I felt like I was driving a cheetah.
So well done, everybody. Get your juices flowing. Did that get you thinking? Now, not everybody has to sing a wonderful song. You can just talk to. Because, you know, some of us aren't so talented when it comes to singing. Matter of fact,
some of us are.
Most of us are not so talented.
Feel free.
However, Jemmy can sing. I was impressed. So, all right, let's do some equestrian first world problems. And I am just with it today because I don't know what happened to the bumper. It's,
Come on.
It should be right. Oh, there it is. I'm just doing great here today.
Turn the volume up. First world problem. First world problem. First world problem. All right. Remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. And these are equestrian first world problems that are submitted by you. Our auditors is where we go to find the submissions. I usually post a picture of a really sarcastic meme of somebody doing something ridiculous. And how it works is I post it. I'm like, oh my God, please share with me your problems. Life is so hard. So I post something like that. But apparently I didn't write specifically, I need equestrian first world problems. So people started just posting their problems. And I started reading. I'm like, why is this? And somebody messaged me and they were like, are you like looking for real problems? Because it sounds like I reread it. I was like, oh my God, I need to say it. So I retyped it. And so people are still furiously posting their first world problems. So at this point, the case is closed. The commenting is closed. But I do feel really bad for all of you with real problems. And I mean, we all have real problems, but you know, I'm sorry that I made you air your grievances on the Facebook page. Anyway, let's get to the equestrian first world problems. And this just means that we know how ridiculous we are. Let's just go with that. Casey says, oh my God, I filled the 500-gallon tank and realized that I forgot to change the plug out of the tank heater. Does that mean your horses are drinking cold water? Oh my God. How are they going to survive? Haley says, I don't know if this is an equestrian first world problem, but I love it. Haley said, I removed a clump of hair from my horse's comb and I shaped it into a heart and I gave it to my fiance, but he refused to touch it because romance is dead. That is so gross. I am so going to do that next time, by the way. I'm going to bang some hair out of the curry comb and shape it into a heart and give it to Chad. Maybe I'll put some blood on it, too. Sharon says, I'm married. And since my husband would get mad if I put my biothane tack in the dishwasher, I had to rinse it off by hand. Ugh. Jen, do you have the biothane tack for
We actually do put my harness in the dishwasher, so.
Yeah, Sharon, yeah. Some men, yeah. You need a new man.
By the way, it was great. The first time I did it, I had to do two washings because the harness didn't fit all in one load. And it was so nice. I didn't have to scrub for hours. It was so nice.
And since you guys don't really cook anyway, it's like...
Actually, the dishwasher, it's a lot less gross than the hair that's left in the washing machine after.
Mary said, this is so mean. Mary said, I forgot to check the pockets of my coats before I washed them, and now I have little Kleenex balls all over my pleats.
I hate that. I hate that. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Holly says, yeah. I was putting in T-posts for a temporary fence so my horse's pasture doesn't get overly trashed from the rain. And I was trying to hurry and finish, and I hit a water pipe and it made a geyser.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
She said her two-year-old human child loved it.
I bet.
Oh, my God. Two people, Marissa, and I think it was Jessica, also had the same one. Marissa says, I went to Starbucks for a pumpkin spice latte, but they were out of the pumpkin spice flavoring.
Do you like that, by the way?
No, I don't. Jennifer doesn't either. I don't like anything Starbucks at all.
I mean, she likes Starbucks, but not pumpkin spice. And now there's pumpkin spice freaking everything.
Yeah, it's really in the past couple years.
Realize that pumpkin spice is just a spice? It's a really cheap spice that you can buy at the
you
store.
Can put on anything.
It's all it is. You can use it all year if you really want to.
Marlene says, my horse has been losing muscle on his top line and not moving so well. So I ordered him a new custom saddle, but it's going to take 8 to 10 weeks to be here. God.
It's going to be winter by then. She won't be riding anyway.
Kayla says, last night I decided...
I'm not helping, am I?
I decided to bring Nash inside to clean off some of the mud off him, and it has been doing nothing but raining for like 2 weeks, and now I'm going to have to put him back out, and he's going to get dirty again. Ugh! Elizabeth said that 4 of her 8 horse rugs proved not to be waterproof after the first rainy day. Okay, so I did that whole sprayed the Nick Wax spray on all the blankets.
Yeah,
and
it melted off.
I don't think it worked. As I have one new blanket, a new sheet that I got for Pink, and that was so brand new. You could see the water pooling and dripping off of it, and the other horses it was just kind of absorbing it.
Yeah, people don't realize every time they wash their blankets, it's taking a little bit of the waterproofing off.
Yes, I know. But they're gross, Glenn.
I'm not arguing with you. That's why you need a new Weatherbeater blanket.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. Jill says, I was riding my pony yesterday, and I realized I don't have any pony-sized polo wraps in the colors that I want, and they're only available in Europe, but then I have to pay international shipping, and the other color stateside is white, and my pony is white.
Good Lord, what color does she want? I mean, it's about a million colors of polo wraps.
I mean, yeah, it's like a certain brand or something. There's somebody, Glenn, named Jen, who has a one that says, should I use the matching saddle pad and riding shirt on my next endurance ride, or do I go with contrasting colors? It's so hard to decide. Okay, Lily has this is a little bit of a paragraph. And by the way, Jen, everybody's matchy-matchy, okay? Everybody is so everything is the same color. So if you want them to talk about you, you should wear contrasting colors. Be the talk of the town.
Oh, yeah, I like
that. Yeah, see, I don't think Jennifer really wants them talking about her, to be honest.
I know. So I was just giving you both. Right, Lily says, by the way, I'm going
to
read this.
That's your job. Your job on this show is to be that girl's.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't have to pay the medical bills, see?
Speaking of, I am going to show you a video later. So Lucas decided he wanted to do a YouTube channel.
God, they all want to do YouTube channels at that age, don't they?
So I started filming him in the pasture. I was like, we're going to do like a nature boy, you know, out in the fields kind of thing.
Oh, not playing and video games like every other YouTube channel.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And I have discovered that my son is that boy.
I wonder where he got that
from. That guy. These videos are so funny. If you, like, he's like good. Like one, he goes to, he's going to show you how to catch a grasshopper. And he squished it. Okay, that's another story for another time. Sorry.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, some of these parents are making fortunes off their little children on YouTube.
It's gonna be me. It's gonna be me. That is gonna be me, but you're gonna watch it because he is so epically fails at all the videos he's trying to make.
You need a clever name like the loser boy or something like that.
Not like that bad, but he, it's supposed to be like Lucas, not Lucas the loser. Okay, that's terrible. What kind of mom would I be, Glenn? It's something to where he's kind of that, like he is the exact spitting image of me. Okay, I'll just put it that way. Okay. Lily says, so like every morning and night, I pick out my horse's hooves because it's like, you know, mud season. Anyway, it's dark outside in the morning and night right now. So they're still on 100% turnout. So they're outside like when I do this. Okay, so it's dark and I can't see. And so I use this tiny flashlight to shine on the hoof as I pick. No big deal, right? But last night, my horse pooped all over my head. Ew. And like she didn't even give me a warning fart. What the heck?
That is the worst.
TJ says, I'm retired with no schedule, and now I can't decide how often to ride.
There is a first world problem.
Karina says, all I have are photos of my horses grazing because I'm not talented enough to ride and take a selfie at the same time. Ellen says, I spent $150 to attend a really great dressage clinic, and they wouldn't let me use the bathroom in the barn, so I had to use the porta potty. God. Leslie says, I had to unload 8 bags of feed all by myself. Oh my God. I went to the store, by the way, Leslie, to the new feed store down the street where I'm supposed to go buy my feed from now on. And there was nobody to help me either. And I'm like, hello, I'm 40. I'm not unloading 600 pounds of grain myself. Somebody get out here. And so guess who helped me? The guy who was selling cookies in front of the store for his son's football team.
You really didn't help you? You're in Oklahoma. They're supposed to be helpful there.
Oh, yeah. No, they sent out this 90-pound teenage girl to help me. And I was like, really? No. Football guy, get over here. Because he was like, you need some help? And I was like, yes!
That is the one nice thing in Ocala is you just open your trunk or the bag. They throw it in the back. You don't have to do anything. It's nice.
I was not so happy with my first visit to Atwoods. We'll continue to see how it goes because I really don't have anywhere else that I can buy food. Joy says, I left my horse blanketed because it was cold and raining, and then I went to work. And then halfway through the day, the sun came out and it was in the 60s and nobody was home to take my horse's blanket off. That is my biggest fear, by the way, is that they get too hot in their blankets. I'm paranoid about that. Kimberly says, I took a lesson on Saturday and it was 91 degrees. Why can I not transition into fall mode? Where does Kimberly live? I don't know. Probably Florida. And then finally, April says, my horse messes with everything and knocked bleach over while I was cleaning in the tack room, and it spilled on my favorite halter. And so now my blue halter has a big white spot and I need a new blue halter. I have a question. Why is your horse in the tack room?
Yeah.
I mean, did it reach in there? Was it hanging out with you while you were cleaning? Like, that seems counterproductive. Just all these questions that I have. Anyway,
because then it tacks itself up. It just goes in, comes out tacked up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to post.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, like my God. Like an automatic car wash. You just send them in one end, they walk out the other end with their tack on.
Oh, my God. Could you make that for my son to get dressed for freaking school?
Walk in. You need that.
Wait a minute. You have a famous YouTube star that can't even get dressed in the morning?
Yeah, he's not famous yet. And if I filmed him trying to dress himself in the morning, you know, well, the 42 times I scream, "Put your sock behind!" then I would go to jail because people would think I was an abusive
person. Well, at least he's going in clothes. He was naked for the first 5 years of his life. So
it's true. It's a little too clear, but I have discovered that I am an unbelievably great mother after 8 a.m. and pre 8 p.m. There's like a 12-hour window where I am awesome. But
and for half of that, he's at school.
And after that, I am no good. At 8 p.m., I'm like, you've got him.
That could be with the bottle of wine that's just been emptied on the counter by that point.
No, that's when I start drinking.
Let's hear from Elizabeth, one of our auditors, about becoming an auditor. And then we're coming back, and you're going to give us, we're going to go into Jamie Lecture 101.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Get it prepared. Get that slideshow ready.
Oh, ho, the HRN auditors are quite the awesome herd. Oh, take this advice from me. Oh, the HRN auditors are quite the awesome herd. Our horse obsession, something rare to see. We share our horse show bombs or ribbons from our good days. Nutrition tips to help friends in need. Our struggles and our triumphs can be followed. Just ask your question, then the answers on your Facebook feed. Oh, the HRN auditors are so amazing, but I nearly skipped the most important part. Each month our dollars or five or 20 help to keep up all the shows that hold such fond spots in our hearts.
That's right. And to become an auditor, just head over to the horseradionetwork.com website, and you'll see the auditor's banner on the right side of the page. Just click on that, and it's very simple and easy to do for as little as a dollar a month. You, too, can become an auditor. You have 2 days to get in before they run the charges at the beginning of every month. So if you want to be in for November, you have 2 days to get your pledges in today and tomorrow. Head on over to horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner. All right, Jamie, so you got two new thoroughbreds, and people have been inquiring what you're doing to get them started. I don't know how you want to break this down. You're the professor.
Okay, so let's start with Rocket. Rocket is a three-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred. He never raced. He is tattooed, but he never actually ran a race. And he has had probably a couple months of, I say couple months, maybe about 15 rides post racetrack. So he's a bit further along. Like, you can kind of hop on him and ride him around. When I tried him out, I did that. So when I got him here, I realized he's actually quite a nervous horse, and he's fairly afraid of people, which I told you guys about ahead of time. And so I just decided with him, I would just start him over. Okay. Now let's go to Groot. Groot is a three-year-old off the track who is very recently off the track, but was very unsuccessful apparently. So Rocket and Groot, obviously named after, you know, the Avengers. Groot is 3 years old and appeared to me to kind of be more, have more personality, more like a Zeus person, more like in your pocket, kind of in your face. So I decided to start them both over. So started with Rocket, and I did first day just a join up for both of these horses. One's a little further along, so I'll get there. But first day was just a join up. I'm just going to do a join up and let you guys understand that I'm here to talk to you, and we're going to be friends, because neither one of them I can catch in the pasture at the beginning by just walking up to them. If you walk up to them in the pasture, they just walk away. So I did a join up with both of them. And then the next day, what I do is I do a join up and then tack them up and long line. And the long lining is attached to the dually halter. So they've got the dually halters on while they're doing the join up. And then I invite them. They come to me. They stand still. We work on getting tacked up and that procedure, and see how, because you have to kind of see how they're going to be. Another thing that you do while you're in the middle of the round pen and they're joined up with you is you pick up their feet and you kind of touch them in all areas to see how sensitive they are. Neither one of them, one of their back feet picked up. So I had to go kind of go focus on that a little bit. So while you've got them in the round pen, you can do all of these things to kind of see where the holes are. You know, if I go to put the saddle pad on them and they're like, you know, snorting and that, well, we're going to have to go a little slower. But both of these guys have had the tack on them. That's kind of the interesting thing about racehorses is some things they've had done a million times and other things they've had not done at all. So I can tack them both up, no problem. And then with Rocket, I was able to long line him with the dually and then just connect the lines to the bridle because he's been ridden a lot. And so I did that the next day. With Groot, he went through the tack up procedure and then I long lined him once with the halter. And then yesterday he got his first ever long lining in the round pen with the reins connected to the bridle. And you can tell that he is a racehorse and he is so stiff and he cannot bend and he cannot turn. But there's some other things that I've done in between. So join up, kind of tacking them up, getting to know them, picking up all their feet, things like that, finding where their like itchy spots are and where they like to be scratched. And then to long line them around with the bridle is as far as I've gotten with Groot. But there are some other things that you have to, that I want to explore with them before I get on, because I don't know what their experience is with being, you know, a rider being on. So I like to do what we call plastic, and you take a plastic bags that are on the end of a stick. And you just teach them by taking the stick up to their wither area, which is kind of their sweet spot, which is where their mama kind of scratches them and they scratch each other. And you take the stick up and you start scratching that and you go away and up, and always using approach and retreat. And then you change the side, which all the plastic bags are squished into a little ball and you've got them tied up really tight. And you finally like approach at the wither spot with the plastic and you retreat, approach and retreat, and you make that area that you're touching bigger. A lot of times, most of the time, when you finally touch that horse with the plastic bags, you need to be standing off to like a 45 degree angle in front of them because a lot of times they freak out. Oh my gosh, neither one of these horses even flinched. I mean, they Groot was like eating it. And then Zara comes over and she's trying to get me to rub the plastic all over her. I end up unfurling the plastic bags, Jen. And then I was like on their head, all over their back, and they're both standing there. And so, yeah, you just kind of like get them used to stuff. And the next thing I would like them to do is walk over tarps. And you do this exercise called the lake and stream, where you put a big tarp out in the middle of the round pen and a tiny tarp folded up like you're standing in the middle of a lake and there's a stream that goes all the way to the edge, and you get them to move around the round pen and they see that tarp and they're like, oh my God, I can't possibly. And they jump it and you unfold it until eventually they're going across the tarp. And then eventually you can lead them across the lake.
So you just make it bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where they can't jump it anymore.
Yeah. I think Monty says, he's like, well, if they jump this, they're going to the Olympics. And you just do that. Everything is very slow and very incremental and very patient. You figure out a way to make the end result something very easy to get to by making it piece by piece by piece a little bit bigger. It takes a lot of patience. And it takes a lot of just trying to figure out how can I get to Z starting at A. And you just have to go B, C, D, you know, all the letters, just little blade, little by little by little. If you go to your horse with plastic bags on a stick and you just walk up to them, try to touch them with it, they're out of there. So you just, you know, touch them with the stick first and then stick end of it. And you just make it gradually bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you can have plastic bags bouncing all over you, put tarps on their back. And as long as you do everything incrementally using approach and retreat. So with that being said, I've had some downfalls as well. First of all, can y'all tell me how to get ticks to stop getting on your horses? I have 18 acres and poor Groot, no other horse has been covered in as many ticks as this horse. Aww. What's the tick
spot
treatment?
On? Spot on.
I know, but I've used it before and it's burned my horse's legs before.
Which
Did you use a different brand? Because the carrier that makes the chemical do its job makes a difference. So if you used brand A, try brand B, because that I had the same problem. One of them, it worked, but it kind of gave the horse a minor, a little bit of burning. Their hair stood on end, and it was obviously uncomfortable. So maybe try a different brand.
Well, what do you use? What do you recommend?
I use the one that comes in, because they keep changing the names up. There's one that we're available here that comes in a red, white, and blue package, and there's one that comes in a yellow package. And the red, white, and blue package had less irritation.
Okay, did I use Freedom? The yellow one? Okay, gotcha. Now,
yeah, maybe try the red, white, blue one. Yeah.
So in 1 week of being here, I have had to take a video and or call and send it to Dr. Hendricks several times, three times in a week. I've called because I don't have a vet here yet. No, she can't. And now she can't bill me because she hasn't done anything. I don't, not yet. She may bill me after this weekend because, it was Friday. So in the one, thank God she sold me.
She probably said, thank God that woman moved. And now you're harassing her from the other side.
I am. Okay, so Friday night. Okay, it's Friday night. I do not have a veterinarian. Mind you, in the week that I've been here, Chili colicked, and let's see, who else? All these horses are doing these weird behaviors. So Chili colicked, and on Friday night, I went to get Rocket to work him. And I went to go get him. By the way, I told you guys at the beginning of this little segment that Rocket and Gruden, you can't catch them, and that Rocket's the scared one. Oh my God, he's the one that comes right up to me now. He has changed 180 in personality. And Groot is like, no, you're going to make me work. No, not going to come. So the two personalities have definitely shifted. Rocket's like, oh, hey, that human's coming. Cool. Because he was just afraid, and now he's not afraid. Now it's like he's so much happier. And he starts Biotic 8, supposed to be delivered today. Anyway, so I go out to work Rocket on Friday, and I'm like, what is your deal? His nose was completely swollen. Now, I could put my fingers up in his nose. The inside of his nose was not swollen, but the outside and all around and his lips, everything was huge. And he was taking
Botox gone bad.
Yeah. Was he getting treatment? Botox gone bad. Was he getting treatments?
It's like, I've never seen it. And I'm like, okay, in my repertoire, what do I do? I'm like, I take a video and I call the doctor. That's what I do. So you tell me how on a Friday night, not knowing anybody, I'm going to get a vet to come out to my house that I don't know. And that's going to just show up in my house on a Friday night. Apparently there's one vet around and that's it. So I didn't see anything good happening. So I called Dr. Hendricks and sent her the video, and Chad's helping me. And by the way, he's not a fan of having his temperature taken. He thought that was very offensive. So I'm getting his temperature. I take his pulse, I get his respiration, and everything is within normal limits, but the breathing is fairly shallow, like that kind of breathing. And she said, it looks like he got bit by a snake on his nose.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And I can't find any little holes because he's super sensitive.
Yeah, but the nose is
sensitive.
So squishy that they might have closed up.
You can't touch him there anyway.
Right.
Before.
And if he bit him on the inside, you know, I could see how that would happen you wonder how that doesn't happen more, actually.
Yeah. With the long grass, I'm just trying to get it mowed, but I can't mow it and hay it until we get some dry days in a row.
Well, it wasn't a poisonous snake or he would be dead.
Well, yeah. I mean, he definitely had a lot of discharge out of both nostrils for days. But what she said is, you know, thank goodness I bought a lot of dexamethasone and Banamine and Bute before I moved. I was like, I need drugs. I'm not going to have anybody. I need drugs. So I was able to give him some dexamethasone IV, get that in him. And she's telling me the dose and how much to give and all that. And then I was able, you can also give dexamethasone in the food. You can eat it. They can eat it. They can get it in the muscle. They can get it in the vein.
Is he better? I mean, did it get better?
Yeah. 2 days later, after 2 days, twice a day, getting bute and dexamethasone, he is all better.
You didn't
better
have any tissue deterioration around the nose?
No, not that I can see.
That happens sometimes with poison, you know?
I feel like
look at me talking like I actually know what I'm talking about.
I'm proud of you. Yeah, I feel like it was up in the nasal passage. Inside, like, I don't know where, because there's nothing visible on the outside, but it definitely swelled up higher up the nose. So one's covered in ticks, one's swollen, one's colicking. Like, how many more things can I have happened in a week?
Yeah, like, they be careful what you say, girl.
You know, the good thing about the ticks is if you're seeing ticks, then they're not the bad ones. If you're seeing ticks of the regular size ones, that's good. The ticks you don't see, the deer ticks, are the ones that are going to cause the Lyme disease and the problems.
Really? You mean the regular ticks? Because I've been terrified that my...
No, they're carried by the smaller deer ticks. But the problem with that is you're not going to see them in the fur. So probably where there's big ticks, there's deer ticks. So yeah, it is something you want to take a look at doing something about.
Yeah, I've had to give the dogs. My dogs haven't had flea or tick medicine in 9 years, you know, because there's just no fleas.
It's time to start that.
Yeah,
like
there's
today.
No fleas and ticks in Arizona. And now I've moved back 4 dogs. I just went to the vet clinic. I spent like $300 in tick medicine. I was like, oh.
And
gosh,
check Lucas's nooks and crannies at night, too.
Yeah, oh, gross. Somebody have to get him some pills. Here, eat this. I know it tastes like liver. Just eat it.
No, you definitely want to do that with him and yourselves, for that matter. You're just not used to this grass thing.
I know, it's weird.
And woods and stuff.
Trees and grass. Anyway, well, I hope that was at least somewhat interesting.
Well, that's like phase one. We'll keep this up. We'll keep a running tab on how they're progressing.
The next stuff is that, you know, I sat on Rocket in the round pen, but it's kind of a little mucky. So I just fenced off an area with electric fencing so I can actually ride without all the other horses galloping up to them. You know, I tried to ride Duke around the pasture and it was like, yeehaw! It got a little scary. Anyway, so I've got a little space separated now so I can take them from the round pen and riding to go to this special little area and long line and ride in there. So we're just going to take everything and make it bigger, you know, and do more. So bit by bit.
And are you moving in at some point?
I plan to sleep there. We plan to sleep there tonight for the first time.
Yay.
Yeah. Moving into a 1,000-square-foot house, you have to unpack everything and then look at what you unpacked and then repack half of it.
I know. We've done it a few times. And what we kept doing was just getting rid of stuff. And I know you got rid of a lot of stuff. And now you're going, God, I wish I'd gotten rid of more stuff.
Yeah. Chad leaves little things around. I'm like, I just swipe them. He's now starting to go through the trash because I'm just throwing everything. Like, stop going through the trash. But this is not trash. I'm like, oh, oops, I didn't mean to throw that away. Sorry.
I do that with Jennifer more than she does it with me. Although I think she does it with me too, and I just don't notice because I'm so oblivious to everything. Mm-hmm. I just don't notice it's gone. By the way, April, April questioned first world problems. Her horse was in the tack room. She posted on the auditor page, Jamie, my horse was in the tack room because he is in the Texas version of Zeus. I can't keep him out of anything. I was using bleach because he opened the tack room door. I didn't lock it while I was cleaning stalls. And he went in and knocked over and busted the bottle of Betadine. Oh, God. That gets everywhere. And I was hoping the bleach would help the stain so it didn't look like I murdered somebody in there. Betadine's the worst. You get that, it's never coming out. I don't care what you use. You're just going to have a death scene forever in your tack room.
Yeah. It's a smell. The worst. Okay. There is one that's worse, and that's Copper Tox.
Oh, yes.
Copper Tox is the worst stain and the worst smell. It's worse than Betadine, but Betadine's fairly.
What's that stuff,
bad,
though, that makes you taste cabbage, Jennifer, that you use?
DMSO.
Ugh. Jennifer uses that on herself. And when I had my hurt shoulder before the surgery, she made me use it. And all I could taste was cabbage all day long. It worked.
So there's a percentage of humans that if you touch it, you taste it. And there's a percentage of people that don't. Jennifer
Must
be one of those people that
I thought everybody did. I tasted it and I don't like cabbage. So it wasn't a happy thing.
No. To me, it tastes like garlic, like a really like rotten garlic.
Well, on that note, we're going to end the show. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Appreciate it. Don't forget, tomorrow we are dark. We'll be back on Wednesday with our special Halloween episode. And Kristen will be here, and we'll be reading some stories and apparently having a competition. And that's what's going on. Thursday, we will have the driving episode, I believe it's Thursday. And then we'll be back here on Friday with some really bad ads and giving away the box of crap. So look forward to the box of crap. Don't forget, you only have a couple days left to get your dog pictures in for the custom jewelry by Kelly Hurd Jewelers that you heard about on Friday. That post is on the Horses in the Morning show. Just scroll down till you see the doggy and then get your pictures in. You just have to send your pictures in. Did you send your picture in yet?
I haven't.
It's a $2,500 piece of jewelry. It'd be the most expensive piece of jewelry you have. So send your picture in. Send
Lucky. How do you know?
You're a horse person. Of course I know. That's right. Because I know if you had anything more expensive than that, you would have sold it a long time ago for the horses. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, guys. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one.